and welcome to W Paranormal Talk Radio on the BBS Radio Network. I'm Rob.
I'm Nicole.
And that's my dog. That's right. We broadcast out of the basement studio in a haunted house.
Yeah.
Therefore making it unofficially the Haunted Basement Studios.
That's one of the things we can talk about.
Yes, we were going to discuss angels and demons, as it is announced on our website. But one of the wonderful things about being on independent radio is you can change your mind. I like it. I mean, I do like the fact that we can change our minds. And probably within the last hour, we've decided
we changed our mind
that we're going to probably do demons next week.
I think we're just too tired to get that far into it.
Right. It's too deep of a topic for the middle of this week. This has not been the easiest week.
No.
So,
and
I think...
we got to get up early.
Right. We have to get up early to the Renaissance Fair. And let me tell you, I like the Renaissance Fairs. I don't like running a food booth at a Renaissance Fair.
Right.
For those of you who are new to W Paranormal Talk Radio and are not aware of just how obsessed I am with the reenactment of medieval times, my entire life for a while was defined by... my entire basement here was all set up as, medieval. My screen name on my chat's all based off it. It just happened. It's great. You gotta do it. Sometimes it's scary. No, I'm not making fun of you. You think I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, basically, I was... It's a major part of who I am. Paranormal and medieval reenactment, that probably more or less defines me aside from my family. And, if family went away, I'd have to go into one of those two, because that's all I know.
Yeah, what a concept.
What?
No.
You're being silly.
Sorry. Right.
Silly's one of those things that you do best.
Alright. So we know about the reenactment. What's not fun is... since I met Rob, I've been kind of, pulled into this whole...
because you can't be around me without being in the medieval realm.
I just kind of got adopted by your group,
Not adopted, abducted.
Showed up one day to help you guys, and
what happened with you is what we like to refer to as becoming dragon by injection.
It sounds really bad.
Right. See, some people... I became dragon by infection. You can become dragon by... infection or injection? You got it by injection. Yeah.
Which means for people who...
they can just figure it out.
Okay. All right.
But my reenactment group, Blue Dragon, either... see, here's what we're getting into with this reenactment thing. What it comes down to is, you gotta have a reason to want to do it.
Yeah.
And my reason is I want to reenact history, not that I want to cook food for the masses.
I know.
So we're running a food booth. It's draining people. A couple years ago, they came up with this brilliant plan that we'd have a food booth and it would raise money.
Okay, the money part is great. It does raise money for the reenactment group, but... it's draining everybody down. Nobody wants to work at the food booth. And we always get the same, four people who are stuck in that food booth, fair after fair.
Part of my reason for joining this group was to have something outside of my life working in a restaurant. So, as an escape from working in a restaurant, I joined a reenactment group, and I now work in a restaurant.
The food booth, yeah.
For... reenactment group. So what we're going to do today is we're going to discuss something completely different. What we're going to do is cover a topic we've covered in the past for one of our other networks. I believe this one was actually when we were still on Pirate Radio, which is the most independent of any network you can possibly find.
I wouldn't know.
And we're going to pick one of those topics. we were just discussing several possibilities. I'm capable of discussing them all, so what it's going to come down to is what my beautiful co-host would like to discuss.
Oh, quit the suck up with the beautiful part.
Oh, you are beautiful.
Okay. I have no idea. To be honest with our audience, up to an hour ago, I totally even forgot we had a radio show to do tonight. I was thinking about going to bed. I'm like, I'm tired, we gotta get up early in the morning. And then suddenly it is, oh my god, we got a radio show tonight. So, my mind is just, I'm not here.
Let's pick one of our topics.
All right. My topic was not good enough for you.
Now you're getting mean.
I wanted to talk about personal experience, about... It didn't have to be with our team's personal experience.
Right,
it'd be
well
like growing up personal experiences.
Yes, but then you'll just end up and you'll talk about your child. And you never refer to anything. The childhood home. You can drive past it and you're like, it's the childhood home.
It's the childhood home. It's where I spent most of my childhood in.
It's never the house I grew up in.
Which may I remind you, if I talk about my childhood home, you'd be talking about your childhood homes. Yeah, you didn't just live in one house.
I did. It was right there.
One house your entire childhood.
Over there.
Okay. You make it sound like you moved when you were a kid.
I lived over there from the time I was 2 until I was 16.
Okay. See, that's your childhood home.
No, it's the house I grew up in.
Same thing. Hey.
It's not the home where my childhood lived.
Same thing. See, so if I'd be talking about my childhood home, you'd be talking about the house you grew up in. And it'd be equal.
No.
We'll mention it from time to time as we're doing shows, because we both have had experiences with ghosts.
See, now
haunting,
I were going to pick a topic.
And UFOs.
I were going to pick a topic. I would pick secret societies. But I don't think...
Oh, no. I want to do some research before I do get into secret societies.
Research.
I'm serious, because I would love to do a show about secret societies and conspiracies and stuff, but I want to know at least what I'm talking about. Wow, that was... For everybody, obviously, you can't see what we're doing. Rob is going through our archives on our website, and... Boy, that was a pretty interesting month you had there. There was, like, nothing on the archives for that month. Let me guess, was it a Ren Faire month?
It was Ren Faire month.
See?
What do you know? What do you know? I think we could do... Oh, nope, you're going to save any more research time. Because you're big on... You can't just talk about something from the heart. You have to have... So that's why you're picking a topic. You pick it, we do it.
No.
I will go off of what I know... And I will do that. I will go from what I know. So something you can cover without having to research, ticket, pocket, paranormal, we're doing it. Go.
My whole life is centered around hauntings and ghosts. We've already discussed that.
Okay.
So let's...
And talk about a haunting that you didn't experience personally, that you know about. Come on. Topic. Come here.
Wait, do you want to start getting into famous hauntings?
Sure. Do it. Go. Dig it.
Take You're going to need some serious kissing up after this. You know that?
Our BBS fans would love to hear.
What, famous hauntings? They can get that from any website in the world.
Well, they can get any story you're going to talk about from ghosts out of a book.
No,
because
actually they can't.
Because you have told them all. Anything with a personal experience,
yeah,
you have sold to somebody or given away for free. Okay, gave them away for free and got them published.
I did. No.
All right, well then tell them something they're not going to find in a book that has to do with your personal experiences. It's not on a book, not on a website. Come on. That's there you go. You go with your topic. Personal experiences.
Okay, I saw a UFO when I was
not
a kid.
In a book,
I saw
not on a website.
I saw a UFO when I was a kid.
Okay. Where did you see this UFO?
In our backyard.
Okay. Keep going.
During the day, not at night. All right.
This is real stuff. This is the stuff that radio was made of.
Yeah, okay. Abnormal paranormal radio, maybe, but...
Hey, we are WParanormal Talk Radio. The paranormal
abnormal morning show.
We are a paranormal morning show that happens to air late at night because real ghost hunters do it in the dark. And that's right, everyone out there who's listening to us for one of the first times or maybe even the first time, we try to do the show based on a morning show atmosphere, which means, you know, we may not be the most 100% serious all the time, but we're real. Keep it real.
Not too real.
Sometimes we like to eat peanuts down here, you know, we'd be cracking the shells, busting nuts, you know, that's what we like to do, eating shells, eating peanuts, slurping slurpees. The kind of stuff that happens once in a while because we keep it real.
I heard that show, by the way, the slurpee show.
Did you?
Like every 20 seconds I hear, yeah. And they're like, excuse me for that noise. Oh, by the way, if you hear this, it's a slurping slurpee. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so you saw UFO.
Okay. Alright, from what I remember, I'm going to say I was probably like about 8-9 years old. I grew up with two older brothers, and we were in, it's not actually a backyard, it's like we had a really long side yard. Our backyard was pretty teeny, the side yard was huge. And we used to play, you name it, you know, touch football, tag, baseball, you know, you name it, because it was that big of a yard. And there was one day that we were playing, it was the three of us. We were playing, okay, you can't even really call it baseball when there's only three kids. You know, somebody pitched,
well,
somebody hit, and, you know, somebody went after the ball, you know. We were playing, and I don't know what made us look up in the sky. I don't even remember which one of us saw it first. But there was this huge, it's really hard to explain. It was sphere, totally round, like a big bubble, you know, totally round. But it was very translucent. It changed from green to blue, maybe, you know, I don't know. You know, not like the whole thing changed.
Ever go yellow?
No, it...
Caitlin loves yellow.
I know you don't. Yellow. No, it's like, you know where you change... Iridescent. There's the word I'm trying to say. You know, when light hits it, it changes colors. Iridescent.
Yeah, sure.
And it was iridescent, and it just kind of, like, slowly hovered over us. And, I mean, to this day, it's in my mind, I remember it, and whatnot. And then I remember, like, 2-3 years later, I was looking at a book at school in the library, and it was a book about UFOs, and, oh, that had hurt. It was a book on UFOs, and somebody had drawn a picture of this sphere, and they were saying, you know, it was iridescent, you know, kept changing colors and stuff like that. It was exactly, they described exactly what I saw when I was a kid. But what's funny is that out of the three of us, and I remember the three of us staring at this thing and pointing at it and going into the house, my brother David ran into the house, went and got my mom and dad, came back out. My mom and dad sat there and witnessed it. We all sat there and witnessed it, but you want to know what's really weird? To this day, I'm the only one who remembers it. You ask my mom and dad and my two brothers, it never happened.
That happens when you have dreams that seem very real.
It was a dream, though. It was not a dream. But what's funny is because, yeah, like years later, I said something to my brother George, and my brother George has absolutely no memory of it. But I did.
You had a dream.
It wasn't a dream!
Okay.
It wasn't a dream.
Okay. Could be a dream, though.
But it wasn't.
And how do you know?
So let me see. I was wide awake playing baseball.
How do we know that our experiences are real?
Don't even get it.
No, I'm being serious. I mean, that's actually an interesting topic. Because sometimes when we have no topic, we cover lots of topics. That's how it's
right.
Exactly
this
works.
Was not a dream.
Okay. I'm taking your word that
it's real because it's something that has stuck in my head ever since that day that it happened.
Okay. Why did everyone else forget it?
I don't know why everybody else forgot it. I don't know. You hear stories about that. You hear stories about how some people, there could be like this mass sighting and some people will like lose their memory of it and some people will remember it. You hear about that stuff.
Take a like Men in Black, they took out their little stick.
No, it's really weird. I saw something like that, though.
You saw the Men in Black?
It was in Spring Lake.
You saw the Men in Black?
No, I don't know if
it was
Men in Black. I was riding out. I was in the car with my ex-husband. And we were coming in from Spring Lake. We were in Grand Rapids for the evening. We were coming in Spring Lake. And we had to slow down in the downtown area, which is 30 miles an hour. We get to one of the corners, and this guy, not joking, all in black, like as long as black trench coat and a hat, comes to the corner, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I look at him, and I remember I got this horrible feeling when I looked at him. But I couldn't for the life of me figure out why I got this bad feeling. I mean, and it just sat there and haunted me for days. I mean, I could not get this guy out of my head. Suddenly, my ex-husband, there was one night that we were just laying there, my ex-husband finally brought up the subject of this guy at the corner. And he had asked, he goes, do you remember, you know, basically, do you remember this guy at the corner? Yes, I do. And he goes, Nikki, did you see his face? And for the life of me, I couldn't remember a face. I just can remember the creepy feeling, the really bad feeling I got when we saw him, when we went past him. And, I mean, our car got really close to him, too. Because he was standing right at the edge of the curb, almost into the street. So our car was really close to him. My window was, like, right there. And I could not for the life of me remember his face. And I thought it was odd, and I wasn't going to say anything, because I figured, you know, everyone's going to think I'm weird and whacked out. No comment on that, Rob, because I'm sure you would. And then he made the comment before I can even say anything, and he said, Nikki, oh my God, he didn't have a face. And that's why it hit me, why I can't remember his face. It's like the man had no face. It was just a black figure that was there.
Was this during your acid years, or or were you on shrooms, possibly?
You're so funny.
Man.
See, this is why I don't tell you stuff.
Hey, this is a paranormal morning show.
This is
a morning show. If you ever listen to one, that's what they do.
Okay.
So, you are the only one who remembers seeing UFOs, and you also see faceless men.
The UFO thing I never figured out.
Okay.
My brothers and I have seen UFOs since then, coming in off of, like, you know, not coming in off of Lake Michigan, but over Lake Michigan. There's tons of reports here in Michigan of UFOs over Lake Michigan. We've seen some pretty strange stuff.
Right.
You know, and but what's funny is there have been times where we've, you know, because we moved from Ionia, got transferred down to Arkansas because my dad was military, ended up coming back up to Michigan into Grand Haven, and there was stuff that my brothers and I would sit there and remember of UFO sightings over Lake Michigan. We'd get all excited about it. It makes the paper the next day. You know, these strange lights and stuff. It would make the paper the next day. And then I would sit there and say something to my brothers, like 2-3 days later after this incident. Once again, they don't remember it. But I will remember it. That's what I don't understand. It seems like whenever there's a UFO sighting, the three of us are together, I am the only one who remembers this. They don't remember anything at all, but yet some of these instances makes the paper the next day to show that I wasn't dreaming.
Right.
So I don't know. So it's really odd how some people can hold a memory of something like that and how some people, it's like it's wiped away.
Right, right.
Well,
I had the same thing happen with the glass elevator once.
What?
Glass elevator. I remembered it on vacation. No one else remembered a glass elevator. Happened.
Okay, the glass elevator is probably something very real, right?
I've got pictures of the glass elevator.
See? I don't have pictures of this UFO.
Well, there you go. If you had a picture, it would be so much better. See, I have pictures of a candy that says, I love PW Paranormal, and it doesn't even exist, and I have a picture of it.
That's because that's called Photoshop. I don't know. I'm just saying, it's just really weird. It is just really odd. Because like I said, it can't all be a dream that I'm having these delusional dreams of UFOs, you know, when my brothers will sit there and see it with me, and it even makes the newspaper the next day. So right there proves that it's not a dream.
I wasn't saying it was.
Right.
I was actually trying to discuss how people can tell the difference between dreams and reality. It got defensive, as would always happen on any morning show. Goo, goo, goo.
Thanks. for a good morning show gets funny.
Does
it? I don't know. Does it?
I don't know.
Okay, what about your UFO experience?
I saw a flying house.
You're so full of it.
I was on the bus. I saw this big black box. It was like house.
You are full of it.
I'm telling the truth.
You told me about the UFO.
What,
are you in the middle of a tornado or something?
No, I was riding on the school bus.
Cow. Another cow.
And I looked up. And it was a big black box. It looked like a house. And it was flying. And I said, hey, look. It's a flying house. And then I went to school. There was no more flying house in school. That was my first UFO experience.
Nobody else saw this flying house.
Everybody saw the flying house, and they still remember seeing the flying house.
So I just saw a flying ball.
See, here's the thing. People, when I see UFOs, everyone else saw them, too.
And not this glass elevator or whatever.
That was just because it was pretty minute. It wasn't very important. Whether or not we drove down, whether we went down the side of the hotel in a glass elevator, or if we walked down the stairs, was pretty minute. It didn't matter to anyone else. To me, it was the most amazing thing ever, because I'd never seen a glass elevator, because I was 4.
Now, what about the theory that people who are sensitive, you know, like...
I have sensitive skin.
Is that what I mean by sensitive?
Hey, this is the morning show.
Like, psychically, and, you know, people who are sensitive in that way. What about the theory that people are sensitive, and that's the reason why... they have more experiences, and that's why they can hold a memory of these experiences when maybe people who are not sensitive can't. It's like it goes in and out and...
Most of those theories are brought on by psychics who want to pretend they have abilities, and they say, hey, guess what? I had this thing happen. If you don't remember it happening, you're wrong. It happened.
Okay, I don't fit under that category because I'm not psychic.
Well, I was just saying, a lot of times... The things where only one person remembers it, and they try to say, I remember this, and I'm the only one that does, because I'm special. Let me tell you this. When I had to go to the psychiatric hospital, I met Napoleon Bonaparte and Abraham Lincoln. And you know what? They were darn sure that they were Napoleon and Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln told me the name of all of his slaves. He told me his exact plans for every battle that he personally led, which I didn't even know which ones he personally led, but Abraham Lincoln in the psych hospital knew. And he was right, because we were looking this stuff up. And this guy knew for a fact that he fought these battles.
How do you know he wasn't the reincarnation of Abraham Lincoln?
We don't know that.
And everybody just put him in the psych hospital thinking that he's totally out of his mind. When actuality is perfectly the same person... That Abraham Lincoln is reincarnation of Abraham Lincoln, and he's just verbally expressing these.
Yes. And and David Koresh is Jesus Christ, okay?
Hey, some people believe he was.
He might have been. You never know. I'm just saying.
It's our government that burned all that crap down and stuff, so.
I'm aware of that. I'm just stating that I met Napoleon and Abraham Lincoln. When in the psychiatric hospital for some severe depression when I was...
I'm surprised you even admitted that on air.
When I was 12, right after my dad died, I met Abraham Lincoln there. And let me tell you, he was 100% sure he was Abraham Lincoln. Matter of fact, he was going to have them arrested for treason, for imprisoning the President of the United States. He was. Yep. And he knew for a fact that he was right.
So, okay.
I just thought I'd tell you.
Wow, you made me feel so much better that I talked about my UFO experience when I was a kid.
No, I wasn't saying that you're as bad as Abraham Lincoln. Well, that's not a bad thing. Abraham Lincoln wasn't that bad of a person. Sure, he claims to have freed the slaves and he kept all of his, but... I mean, at least Abraham Lincoln was a nice enough guy to say, you know what, I don't think there should be slavery. I'm going to free him, you guys, I'm going to free my slaves. You guys are indentured, and let me tell you, as soon as my wife's done with you, you're free. Put it right in his will.
You know what we need?
What?
A guest.
This is the kind of show I like. This is the way it's supposed to be.
Oh, okay, but we run out of topics.
I just haven't found a co-host who can actually handle it. You handle the paranormal talk show.
Well, you are just on a roll tonight, aren't you?
Until today. He's cut me off before I can even finish complimenting you. Sheesh. I can't even believe this. Alright, so. Stop! You seem to forget that there's a microphone right there.
Oh, I don't forget. It's called real life. You make noise.
That obnoxious one.
Anything else we'd like to talk about? I'm not talking about my childhood experiences ever again.
Well, just talk about something that somebody else experienced, too. You know, outside. Just read yourself something like a nut, baby.
Thank you.
I'm just trying to say here, the average person listening to a talk show on the paranormal, half of them are there to disprove people.
Do you ever sometimes think that the whole, basically the world looks at any of us that believe in this stuff as being nuts anyways?
Oh, yes, I do know that. Trust me. I know.
So how I look at it, if the world already thinks I'm nuts because I'm a ghost hunter, why not be nuts? Right?
You're an odd one. All right, so...
I'm not the one that was in the psych hospital.
Not because you shouldn't be, but because you asked for help.
Oh, you're so not getting into this. We were having a topic next week.
We had a topic, but you weren't prepared for it, so we
prepared? I do not get into angels and demons. That was your...
We're having the same topic next week.
Area.
And the same topic next week.
And I'm being prepared, dang it, because... When we don't have a topic for a show, it becomes the Let's Pick on Nikki night.
It wasn't Let's Pick on Nikki night. What it was, I was just asking if I was being honest. As someone who has done more interviews than anybody else I know, you should realize that when someone makes a statement, you ask a question. I was actually trying to give you a chance to defend the fact that you're telling everybody in the world that you saw a UFO, but everyone else who saw it forgot. I was asking...
Everyone else! Oh my god, it was just, what, four people?
I was just asking you to explain to people so they wouldn't think you were nuts.
I don't know how to explain to people.
Alright.
How do you honestly explain to people...
mind control?
...of sitting there and seeing something, being with other people who see something, and have it documented in the newspaper so you know it wasn't dreamt? You know, that's not going nuts.
Oh, I'm sorry, my phone messed up. I'm trying to get things to work here. Like, ah, oh, that's weird.
All right, I'll see you
phone. Things like this happen here in the Debbie Paranormal Studios. Let me tell you, I have a theory. I'm guessing whoever bought Murphy from us when we sold him online, I think the bottle might have broke. I think they opened Murphy.
I think you're forgetting these are brand new listeners. You're going to have to explain.
I don't need to
Murphy.
Explain it. They can go to debbieparanormal.com and they can find out.
Okay.
Bad luck used to happen all the time. We bottled it. We sold it on eBay. So I just pointed that out.
Okay.
But what I was trying to say, honestly, before... Sometimes my co-host Nikki here, she can be a little, defensive. She thinks everyone's always picking on her, and everything's got to be personal. And what I was actually trying to get at was the fact that, you know, often when you have reports of UFOs, why is it that only one person remembers it? When I mentioned the Men in Black, I was being serious.
And I was being serious by telling you what
we
thought.
I was asking you, do you think that there was some kind, you think there's a possibility there really was some sort of a interfering method, an interfering thing that tried to stop you guys from being able to remember this. Do you think it's?
And it could be, you know. It's not just my experience. You hear it everywhere with people that have seen UFOs, you know. It could be a group of people with UFOs, and you still hear that some people remember and some people won't.
I've actually never heard of anyone forgetting a UFO, except for in the movie Men in Black. Tell you the truth.
Well, that's because they don't come down with their little wand thingy. It erased all your memory.
That must be it. All the times that I've heard about anyone forgetting about a UFO, someone from Men in Black made me forget that I heard about them forgetting it.
Okay, whatever.
No, I'm serious. I really never had heard of one person in the entire group being the only one that remembers it. I mean, I've heard of abductions and no one believing the abductee, but I never heard of everyone else in the group forgetting about it. Then again, I will admit I'm not real big into UFOs because...
I used to be.
Because UFOs, in my honest opinion, are almost always the government.
See, there you go. That's another theory. Why people don't remember, you know, UFO sightings is, I don't know.
Government, man. Government.
Why not? The government tries to control everything else. Why not?
But that's my thing. I think that most UFOs almost always turn out to be government craft. You know, something that we're testing.
You know, I would probably believe that even as a kid it was probably a government craft if we lived anywhere near.
Let's see, you're over... You lived where?
Grand Haven.
In Grand Haven. Which is next to what? Lake Michigan?
Yeah.
If you're trying to fly a craft where it's going to be unnoticed, where is the most logical place to fly a craft but over a large body of water?
The northern part of Michigan, over Lake Michigan.
Yes. And
I would
say
in the less populated areas, what I would say.
The average military craft cannot operate in a small area. Matter of fact, a stealth bomber, if flying over Kalamazoo and attempting to land in the Kalamazoo airport, if flying even at half speed... miss the airport and try to turn around, it's going to be in Tennessee before it manages to make its turnaround. So the fact that there's not a base anywhere near where you were at doesn't mean that it couldn't have been a military craft.
Probably was a military craft. It was probably a weather thing or something.
The SR-71 attempting to land here in Kalamazoo, coming from the north, will turn around in Florida. I'm not exaggerating these things.
Oh, no,
either.
That's... Yeah, I heard that before.
So, I mean... You essentially have to turn around the other side of the country. So, maybe I might be off by a couple states, but, you know, you're going to be at least halfway through the country before you can even turn the craft around.
Mm-hmm.
So, and those are known to exist aircraft right there.
Right.
So, why is it not possible that this not known to exist aircraft...
I'm not saying it's not possible.
Because
I'm just saying are more frequent when it's around places, like if you live in Nevada, around
right,
like Area 51.
What I'm getting at here is the craft you're describing, it sounds extremely similar to the one that was caught on videotape by the major, the people that do the Area 51 investigations.
Mm-hmm.
When they're sitting up on the top of the mountain, they have the radios go live, because, I mean, they're monitoring all the military frequencies. The surface-to-aircraft radio goes live. The runway lights up. Up comes this ball craft. It flies straight out to them. Stops, hovers in front of them. They have this part on tape. Hovers right in front of them. Turns around, lands.
Okay, I need to see this tape.
Find it on the internet.
Good.
It's probably what you're talking about.
It might have been what I saw when I was a kid.
And they're talking about... I mean, then you still get into... Did we steal this technology from aliens? Did we develop it ourselves?
Wow, that could be like a whole other show.
Did they give it to us? I mean, sure, some of these crafts, I mean, where does technology come from? Where did we discover stealth technology?
I mean, it makes you wonder, are we, government-wise, I mean, they're keeping it secret, but I mean, are we more advanced than they're letting me?
Well, we just watched that show on future weapons. What was it? That they now have a weapon that is capable of shooting...
I don't know. My brother was doing that.
what was the weapon that they're planning to put on a stealth bomber? A machine gun that can fire 60 caliber grenades at the range.
Grenades.
60 caliber grenades at a rate of 122 a second.
Yes.
Now,
if you think about it, that's going to replace just dropping a bomb on somebody, you know? I mean, just annihilation.
Now, what you get into is the story that people are always talking about in all these alien shows is, you know, the aliens come down, and the entire reason that they're here is because they know we're going to destroy ourselves anyways.
Which is stupid, because they're far more advanced. We would hold no real threat to them, you would think.
Right. Most of the time, what it is they already know we're going to destroy ourselves.
We're doing a damn good job of it, too. Oh, excuse me, you said the D word.
Actually, it's not a bad word.
Okay.
It's not It's not an FCC-regulated word. God damns a lot of things. I mean, he does. Any religion's God has all these rules for damnation. And, heck, discussing the paranormal for Christians is enough to do it. So, hey. They are probably damned craft.
Okay.
Just by what you said. This is one of the advantages to working with somebody who has spent their entire life getting out of trouble. I quit having the ability to do it the last year or so, but until the last year, I've been able to talk myself out of anything.
Okay, yeah.
Then I lost that ability. I got past the talking that my way out of it stuff and moved into the big bit, the big boy stuff. Yeah. I stole Legos from a 2-year-old. You can't talk your way out of stealing Legos from a 2-year-old.
Okay.
I then threw my Cheerios across the room. No. Okay, so, as we were saying, basically, you know, this craft could have been something that the government has. I mean, the fact that it wasn't around a base doesn't really prove anything. Matter of fact, if you're out in Nevada and you're right outside Area 51, you are officially not by a military base. So who's to say that there isn't a base somewhere up there?
Sure. I don't know where they put it, where no one would know. I mean, Nevada's got like hundreds of miles of desert where there's nothing there.
There's a military establishment here in Michigan. Some people might have heard of them. They've been blamed for some terrorist acts. But they happen to have an entire network of bases that no one knows where they're at. And they're not even hidden. They have roads. They have driveways that lead right up to the main roads. They're not hidden. They're even marked when you get to the gate to tell you what they are. But the average person doesn't even know they're there. Their neighbors don't even know that they're there. You have... we'll just get past them. Basically, the Michigan Militia. You know, everyone's heard of them. They got blamed for Oklahoma because one of their members happened to do it. All of a sudden, they're...
Was it proved that he was a member? He just went to a couple of meetings.
The member.
Okay, that was a member? Oh.
Yeah. But, so a member of a group was a terrorist. Therefore, they labeled the whole group as terrorist. But they have military bases, and they are military bases. They're not like a couple people hanging out there. It's not like what they show on Fahrenheit 9/11 that they went there, was it? Or was it on Columbine, Bowling for Columbine? It was on Bowling for Columbine when,
yeah, because they were talking about, it. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was on Bowling for Columbine when they showed what they were calling a Michigan militia base.
Right.
It was a guy's house, okay? That was a crazy dude who happens to be extremely high in the Michigan militia, but he's crazy. I mean, that was his house. That's not a military base, but there are networks of bases that have craft, they have military craft, they have tanks, they've got everything, and the average person, even within a mile of them, don't know that they're there. So could our military, having a much higher budget than, say, the local militia, not have a base that they hide by saying it's something else?
They probably could get away with it in the UP.
I'm sure there's a few things up in the UP. Nothing's in the UP.
Right.
All you have up in the UP is a bunch of people who talk funny and a few tourist traps. About it.
if you want land, it's dirt cheap, but the problem is it costs you thousands upon thousands of dollars to run any type of electricity over to you. Or
right.
Dirt cheap land, though. But, yeah, there's, like, hundreds of miles where there's, like, nothing.
So there is one possibility. You might have found military craft. Could have seen aliens.
I'd like to see this video, because I'd like to see if it was what I saw when I was a kid.
Sure, we can find it.
Because I never saw, you know, like, picture.
Right.
It'd be very interesting if I find it. I wish they would had a picture of my dad was in the military, the incident in Mount Rainier. Remember I brought that up to one of your guests and got a woo-woo-woo, and then I found an article about it. So remember, you had a guest on the show. This was before I was a co-host, when I was a listener. And he was talking about UFO sightings.
You could be like one of those people that can go, I'm Nikki, all-time listener, short-time host.
Yeah. Short-time listener, even longer host. There we go. I've been a co-host longer than I've been a listener, which is really sad. Well, maybe that just shows how fast you get up in the ranks. And you're
I've never listened to the show, ever.
Anyways, you had a guest that was talking about UFO sightings, and I had brought up one that I grew up listening about, hearing about, was UFO at Mount Rainier. And remember, you brought up this guy, and this guy's like, I've never heard about, you know, anything with UFOs at Mount Rainier, and yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada, yada.
You know, she must be mistaken, yada, yada, yada. And then I turned around, and 20 minutes after the show ended, I went on the internet, did a search, and came up with a couple articles about UFO sightings at Mount Rainier.
I quite often like to search the internet and say I was involved in things that I find on it, too.
Well, I mean, my dad wasn't involved. It's just my dad was stationed out of Germany. He was stationed at Fort Lewis, Washington. And it had already happened by then, but everybody talked about it.
I was giving you a hard time. It's what I do.
WPAR
Rob is best.
Give Nicole a hard time.
No, give everybody a hard time.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
No, but as far as the UFOs go, I happen to know a guy who were nameless, who had a job in the military chasing UFO. You know, coincidentally, it happened to be a job. He's never talked to me about it, because he'd get in trouble if he did, of course. But he happened to one time, you know, I happened to be out watching the sky and see this craft, and I'm like, hey, that looks kind of weird. And then there was another one right behind it. And I was sitting there looking, I'm like, hey, that kind of looks like, what the heck? I know we have a military base here, but that looks like an F-15. That can't be an F-15. We don't have F-15s flying over Michigan. We're not in war.
Not unless there's an air show going on, do we have any F-15s, right?
Like, we're not at war. There's nothing like that going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sitting there going, what's that craft in front of it? And it also, I mean, it was moving just as fast, but there was obviously the flames from the F-15, or whatever it was, that was obviously full flame shooting out of the back of it. It's going nice and fast. Now it's shooting. This other thing doesn't appear to be... It's just moving. It's just, I don't know what it's going off of. Gravity drive, I don't know. You know, it's doing something. And looked at it and watched it for a little bit, and next thing you know, the front one does this, like, amazing maneuver. It just, like, all of a sudden stops going forward to just going up, and you see this other craft shoot past it. I mean, it's the distance on it.
Can't do that. Right.
You see it starts to turn around, and it shoots up sideways to turn around to go the same direction. It starts going upwards, and we lost track of the other craft. We don't know where it went. Mm-hmm. And just sitting there going, you know, that couldn't have been what it looked like. I don't know, training exercise, whatever. There are bases around here. There's one within a mile up here. There's a National Guard base.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually an Air National Guard base, so they've got craft. So, yeah, maybe they're doing some training. Because it was only about 10 miles from here that we saw it. It was over Vicksburg, which is the next town over. And I'm like, whatever. Then the next day, this guy just happens to be in town.
The guy that chases
UFOs. Just happens to be in town. He said that he happened to land at the Kalamazoo Airport because he had to refuel, and they told him to go ahead and have a one-day stay in the area because he had relatives.
So the guy who's a member of the Air Force, right?
Navy, I believe.
Navy, Air Force. Well, he'd have...
Actually, it's with both. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he'd have to be associated with something. The average person who knows how to fly just can't jump into another scene.
Well,
right.
Originally, Air Force now flies to the Navy. But
okay. Whatever.
That happens,
all right.
You know.
Military.
Right.
Okay. So what he does, he chases UFOs, basically.
He chases all foreign craft that refuse to identify themselves when entering the U.S.
Well, UFO is unidentified. Okay, fine.
Right. That's his official title. He's supposed to be following unidentified craft.
Okay.
Unidentified
so
foreign
here's
craft.
Here's a guy who makes a living flying and checking out and chasing these unidentified craft.
Right.
You happen to see this, and the next day he just happens to be in town.
Right.
Yeah.
And one time when talking to him, when he was sleeping, and not telling me this stuff personally, because that would be bad.
he was, just remember everybody, he was sleeping.
He happened to mention that there was this one time he was chasing this craft, and the entire time in his three-state chase of this craft that came in over the East Coast, and I don't see how he only flew over three states and ended up anywhere around this area, because that's where he said he was in this area, you know. Can't just fly over three states, I don't think.
Wait a minute.
Maybe you can.
New York? If you come in over New York, you can.
There you go. Probably came in over New York. Well,
there
okay.
You go. Because it'd be New York, Pennsylvania, and then you start going over Lake Erie, and you'd be in Michigan. So there you go.
But then you have to fly over Canadian airspace. But the Canadians don't really have much of a problem with us being in their airspace, because
yeah,
we are their military.
Right. Yeah.
We are their Canadian military.
I mean, if it came up at an angle, you could still do it without going into Canada.
Right. But to the point is, the three-state chase,
mm-hmm.
and then over Michigan,
mm-hmm.
they lost it when it took and made a 90-degree turn at over Mach 1.
Which is pretty much what you saw.
Which would kill anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And any craft known to man is going to fall apart if you even attempt to do it.
Right.
You can try to. I mean, if you get one of our military craft that's Mach 1 and you attempt to turn it, it will fall pieces.
Mm-hmm.
It will disintegrate. There won't be any pain involved. It will just cease to exist. And he was stating that in this three-state chase, he was unable to get missile lock on the thing, even though he's a highly decorated military fighter pilot. He could not get missile lock on it the entire time. It never attempted to be evading him. Almost like it was just leading. Testing him. Can you get missile lock on me? Because he said that if he had to guess, that would have been what he would assume that they were doing, was trying to see if this craft could lock onto him. It was almost as if he was being teased the entire time. Just, hey, I'm here. I'm in front of you. I know you're supposed to be getting lock on me. I know it's your job. That would be like, if we want to find out if we can infiltrate a security system. We know what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, let's go for it.
So let's see if we can go past this.
Let's go to the Capitol building.
No, I'm just saying, you know the security system's supposed to go off. Let's see if we're good enough to get past it. You know, you have a set result here. He said it was almost as if he knew that his entire job is to get missile lock on it and to get it to leave the country. And he said it was almost like it flew in front of him and just kept teasing him, get missile lock on me, get missile lock on me. Because he said that when he got to the second state, they went from this, like, he said they went from, like, I think he said like 350 miles an hour up to over Mach 1. And it was almost like at that point he said, you know, I'm done playing games. And his missile lock was impossible. It did this impossible maneuver. He lost it. And he said that if it was another country's military, then hey, he's better craft and he would hate to go to war with them. And if it was what he thinks it is, he doesn't feel safe in this world.
Really?
Yes. Because he said that if they have a craft that is capable of eluding him, you know, that, I mean, yes, that does sound a little full of yourself if you say that, but...
Right.
So if it's capable of eluding my missile lock, and I've been flying as long as I have, there is no rookie pilot that would have a chance of shooting him down. And he said that it never, it was teasing him the entire time, but he was never granted permission to engage, and he was glad, because he was almost sure that he was somehow going to shoot himself down if he attempted to fire on it.
Okay.
That he didn't feel that the craft had any real form at all. It was just like, it was almost like it was a solid and a liquid at the same time. He said it was almost that's how it appeared to him. It's like it was a liquid solid, you know. I know it's got a name, but I can't think of what it's called. But he said it was almost as if he was flying after a craft that did not have any real form. And that was his theory why it was able to make this turn. And I'm sure you've seen on TV, there's a couple UFO shows, they have one that did the exact same maneuver.
Well,
they have it was another pilot chasing after it, and it did a 90-degree turn and over Mach 1.
Yeah, but you hear about it, too.
This particular guy said that he knows two pilots that have encountered the same thing, and it's always been exactly the same. They follow it for several hundred miles at a slow rate. Then they attempt to get missile lock on it the entire time. They cannot do it. And then it's like it gets done playing. It speeds up. Does an impossible maneuver. And is gone. And that it just completely disappears off radar at that point. Almost like it has... The way he put it was, almost like in Star Trek when they have the ability to just cloak their shields, their ships. Because Star Trek, you know, they just hit a button and it's cloaked.
Right.
No longer be able to see, no longer able to be picked up on radar. He said it was almost like these crafts could do that at will.
Hmm.
It was like it goes up, it gets out of their actual range sight. It's almost like they push a button, go completely silent, completely invisible, and off radar. And then just get out.
That reminds me of...
It was either that or it'd be like... Like they'd actually perfected the wormhole drive.
Mm-hmm.
He said there was the other possibility was that they actually had figured out how to make a wormhole. And by making a wormhole, they are not there anymore.
There was one of the many sightings I was talking about over Lake Michigan. Not when I was a kid. I was like 19, 20 years old. And this one made it on the news where it was... It was first tracked on radar, one of the airports. I don't know if it was Grand Rapids, which it could be, if it was Grand Rapids International Airport or Holland's smaller one or Muskegon's smaller one. One of the airports here along the lakeshore had tracked it on radar. And what caught their attention is even on radar, it was going too fast for anything that was known that we have. It was just going way too fast. They did dispatch fighter jets. So it had to have been from here at the Air National Guard because they went, it could have been, I think Detroit also has an Air National Guard.
Battle Creek has, it was probably out of Battle Creek because that's where Battle Creek unit is the most common one.
Yeah, well, it said it came south and up, so that's why I'm thinking it was probably the Battle Creek Air National Guard.
Battle Creek has got one of the best fighter squadrons
right.
in the country.
They basically went after to investigate. And I remember them showing on the news that they showed the radar, they showed whatever this was. I mean, it was going way too fast. And they showed that the whatever jets they had, F-15s, whatever they had, couldn't catch up to it because it was going so fast. And they said all of a sudden... On the radar, you see it just banking this almost impossible turn, and then disappearing. It was gone. It was just instantly gone. Over Lake Michigan, it disappeared somewhere between Muskegon and Ludington up over the lake. It just made this impossible turn and was gone. They showed it on the radar on the news.
Yep.
The F-15s or whatever the jets they had at the time could not catch it.
Well, it's quite a common occurrence that there are craft that we cannot catch. Which either means that somebody's military out there has gotten really good, that our military has gotten good. I mean, there's a possibility that we are, off the same theory. I mean, they know, because he said it was almost like they were trying to test it. Now, say it's our own military craft. Of course our military knows our rules of engagement.
Right.
So maybe that's what the entire purpose is. They're trying to find out if the best military in the world, which is the United States military, I mean, I'm not real proud of what we do with our military, but we have the best military. We have absolute superiority in just about every military aspect. So if you want to test a craft, even as an American, as part of the American military, the only military that's worthy of testing it, in my opinion, is our military. So what you do is you take one of our crafts out, take out its ability to identify itself as an American craft, and you set it out where you know the best of the best are going to be trying to shoot it down.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't engage it, then you know you have a good craft.
Right.
Eventually, you give the craft to the people that were trying to chase it. You go, you know what? Here's your new craft. You go do this.
Right.
Like this particular guy that I'm talking about, he was called out of retirement. He had retired. He's now chasing aircraft again. He'd retired. He'd been retired for, I think it was 2.5 years. He was called out of retirement. And he was like June.
Mm-hmm.
He's called out of retirement to help the military figure out a method to shoot down passenger aircraft in case it were to become an issue.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
June of 2001.
June of 2001, they called him and asked him to help them come
and
up with the protocol for shooting down civilian aircraft. Because American military aircraft is incapable of shooting down a civilian aircraft.
Okay, and 3 months later, 9/11 happened.
Yeah, which makes you wonder if we knew something was going to happen.
Oh, there's a whole conspiracy show in itself.
I love conspiracies, but yeah. This is the entire reason that he's out of retirement, is that he was called out of retirement, and this was not top secret. This was not classified information.
Well, no,
they didn't classify the fact that he
told
was
called, everybody about
yeah,
it
was not classified at all that he was called out of retirement, and his entire reason for being called out of retirement was to be able to help them figure out how to make it so there were less steps involved in bypassing the safeguards against shooting down civilian aircraft.
And then 9/11 happened. That's good.
So, I mean, I find it kind of ironic that was so close to then, and now that he's stayed in the military, it's not like they said, hey, this guy's an expert, let's ask him a question on this.
Yeah, it's not like a short little consultant job or something.
Like, I could see that. Okay, this guy's an expert. He's been flying for X number of years. I'm not going to say how old he is, but let's just say in theory, he flew since like World War II or something, which he didn't, but let's just say he did, you know? This guy's perfected all this stuff. You know, I could see it. Okay, let's see, this guy's an expert. We're trying to figure out how to do something, and we got to make sure that it's easy enough that we can do it, but hard enough that it's not going to be accidentally done. Let's find Joe Bob. Joe Bob's an expert on this. Joe Bob, I know you're retired, but we need your expertise. Okay, you know, you consult on a project. You might even go up and fly a couple times to see if it works based on the fact that you're an expert pilot. You know, you were one of the best. You don't come out of retirement. There has to be a reason to come out of retirement. I don't know what it was.
Right.
It isn't so he can be ready to shoot down civilian aircraft, I'm sure.
Right.
Because we already proved in Pennsylvania we can do... I mean...
Oh, another show! Yeah. That might not be the best one to talk about with that movie that just came out. So.
Maybe it is.
United 93. So they made a movie about that.
Which
is really funny. Okay.
We're almost out of time here.
I know. I know they have phone calls from the people on the plane to their families. Okay?
Okay.
Obviously. But how can you make a movie when it was just phone call here and a phone call there and a phone call here? How do you make a movie? You do not know the exact events of what happened. You know what I mean? Most of it is theory. They have a theory, you know, but... See, that's why I probably will not see the movie, because if I see a movie about an historical event, I want it based on fact. yeah, there were facts here and there that they did know from these phone calls to their family, but they don't know actual words that were said between the passengers when there was no phone calls being made.
Right.
Right. So it's all drama.
So next week.
Oh, God, I have no idea.
Should we go back and finish the topic that
yes.
we do? We'll talk demons.
Yes.
Demons and demonology?
Yes.
Maybe we should even see if we can get some experts. Maybe we can get some demons in the studio.
Oh, yeah, we'll just come up. Hey, demon, come here. Come be on the show. So we can ask you a question. What's your life like?
Might not be too hard.
Is it fun possessing a body?
Might not be that hard. We are in the haunted basement studio.
It's not that haunted anymore.
It's not. Maybe we should drop the protection, let the demon back in, and let him on the show.
No. For all new listeners, this basement, yeah, we've had lots of activity
maybe
in this basement.
Let's discuss demons next week.
That's almost the whole show, just discussing
the haunting
stuff
next
that's
week
happened
after that,
here.
And try to get a guest for some time after that.
Did you say to actually get a guest?
Yes.
Wow. I'm impressed.
So, next week, demon. 2 weeks.
I don't know.
The haunting in the studio. Possibly. Yes, we can do it.
Yeah, but it will be enough to cover a whole hour.
Oh, yes. It will be.
Okay.
And after that, a guest. And unless things have changed, we have permission to run over. So
that'll be nice when we have a guest.
With the guest, that'll
yes.
be excellent.
I just gotta think what guest should be first.
My grandmother. Oh, I don't have any grandmothers.
I was gonna say that's pretty good considering your grandmothers are deceased.
There we go. That's an excellent guest.
Oh yeah. We're gonna have grandma.
Yeah, that's
I can get some whacked out psychics.
No, you already got enough whacked out psychics.
Hey, I only scheduled 2 psychics. You already had psychics on before I was called.
Hey, I don't have any problem with real psychics. I have problems with the ones that fake it. But I say
we had one that died. There was one. He wasn't that bad.
Yeah, we've had some good ones.
We've had about a 50-50
mix.
Scott Christensen was pretty good.
We've had about a 50-50 mix on good psychics and bad psychics.
Scott Christensen, I say, was pretty good.
Yes, and Barb Allen does pretty good.
Thanks. There's a couple of other ones. Yeah.
There's a few things that have been hit and miss with everybody. I mean, every psychic.
There was one that was almost a complete miss on like everything.
Nothing
for you
was
me.
Right, yeah.
Yes, I mean, telling me that I've got to make sure to talk to my dad about his diabetes and his high blood pressure and all that stuff. And my dad is dead.
Right.
That was a good one. That was a real good one.
Right.
Yeah,
I would say probably until next week.
Yeah.
Until next week, when we're going to be more on topic, more professional, and more rested.
Oh, God, we hope.
Oh, we will be rested. We will be rested.
Yeah, we should. We don't have run fair the next day.
Right.
We have to be up in, 6 hours?
Yes. So, until next week, you're supposed to say something. You don't know how to close the show.
Oh,
your mom's replacement. You got to say his line.
No, I'm not going to say it just for that.
All right, well, in that case, peace and BG. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.